cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good morning. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Glad you can be with us. The Chicago Bears will be on the clock today as we continue our NFL previews. This week, it is the NFC North. We'll have the Lions tomorrow, followed by the Packers and then the Minnesota Vikings to wrap up the week. This is our fourth week of doing this. Last week, the AFC North, and then we did the AFC and NFC East the prior 2 weeks as we get closer to the start of the season. Hey, college football is around the corner. I don't know if you know this, but the 24th, the couple of teams are playing, including the Miami Hurricanes and the Florida Gators. That game on a neutral site in Orlando. But NFL, raise your hand if you thought the NFL was actually going to go, no, Antonio Brown, you can wear the helmet that you want. We're sorry. We made a dumb rule that, you know, you don't really have to follow. Of course, his appeal got denied, and now he's ready to rejoin his teammates. So that whole retirement talk, if they can't wear his helmet, was all just a ruse, because that's all Antonio Brown has become. All threat, nothing else. So the NFL stuck to its guns and really should have, to be honest with you. I mean, they really had no other reason to allow Antonio Brown to wear a helmet that's out of their safety measure that they've lined up. And instead, nothing's going to happen. He's not going to retire. He's just going to rejoin his teammates. I guess he'll figure out the helmet thing from there. And it just was drama for nothing. And that's really all it is. And that's what Oakland is going to have to deal with. This is a guy that is going to say crazy stuff. Maybe he'll post something on Instagram, but he's not really going to follow through with it. Or will he? Because he can be that nuts sometimes. But this is what they've bought into. We talked about this yesterday, and now the NFL said, no, we don't care. This is, you're yelling and screaming about your helmet. You're not getting your old helmet back. You're not going to get to use that. But look, when it comes to the National Football League and the players' union, the union has screamed safety, safety, safety forever. It's one of the reasons they don't want 18 games. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you have one player that's on the outside going, but I want to wear a helmet that is outside the safety parameters. Yeah, quiet. No, you're not. Everybody else is changing. No, you're not. But he's not leaving the game. And why would he? Because in the end, like I said yesterday, he got what he wanted out of this deal. He got better money, he got bigger money, he got guaranteed money. Why would he walk away from that for a ridiculous helmet? But then again, I'm not inside his head. All right, we're going to get to the Dak Prescott controversy next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and that is Ron with two N's, please. All right, so the Dak Prescott story. So we had a little bit of it yesterday, and this is getting a little interesting. And there's a big picture here, so follow me. So yesterday there were reports that Dak Prescott and his people turned down a contract extension offer that would have paid him an annual salary of about $30 million. That would put him about bottom five in the top 10 of quarterback payments, around where Matt Ryan is, for example, but not one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Then yesterday there was a story that Dak Prescott and his people were looking for $40 million a year. Right, because Russell Wilson sort of popped that in April with his four-year extension. Then there was a report that Prescott and his people did not ask for $40 million a year. So we kind of went on this cycle of where exactly the negotiations are with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Now, for me, I look at this and say, okay, well, who's denying that Prescott and his people aren't asking for an average salary of $40 million. Well, the NFL media is saying that he is, and then Pro Football Talk said it was that they shot down the report. Look, am I supposed to believe that Dak Prescott and his people aren't trying to get the most money as they possibly can based on the contracts of other guys? Russell Wilson's deal, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz. I mean, these are the guys that are in the top echelon of the league. Now, if you're Dak Prescott, you do not care that social media had a meltdown because you're seeking $30 million a year. That is social media's problem. That's the fans' problem. Your job and your agent's job is to get the most money you possibly can. Statistics and overall play be damned. It should not matter at all to Dak Prescott. His job is to say to Dallas, if you want me and you want to keep me here and you want to sign me as one of the core young guys of the team, this is what I want. Dak Prescott should never, and no one, and none of you should ever do this either, ever walk in to a negotiation thinking you're less than because somebody else said so. Ever. Ever. Always believe what you can possibly get and let the chips fall where they may. Dak Prescott is not supposed to walk into a meeting going, you know, I don't think I'm one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, so just pay me what you think I'll be worth and I'll just go on my way. If he can get $40 million a year from Jerry Jones, get $40 million from Jerry Jones and let that be Jerry Jones's problem. All right, that's what I would say. So we can have fun on the flip side of this going, wow, where is this going? But negotiations for quarterbacks usually just keep skyrocketing as more quarterbacks sign deals and teams want to lock those guys in. And maybe the guys on the upper echelon are a little bit more unproven than the guys at the bottom have already locked into their deals. Right? And that's kind of what you see. As younger guys get ready to get out of their first initial contracts, they set the bar even higher and higher and higher it goes and goes and goes. And that's really what it is. And then if your team, let's say, wants to put you in that top echelon, they'll renegotiate your deal and make it so. But it all falls on the ownership to be responsible for the income, not the players. The players are supposed to get whatever they possibly can, negotiate. So what I looked at this was saying, look, if Dak Prescott and his people are asking for $40 million, it's probably to say, let's get out of the $30 million conversation. Maybe it's 33, maybe it's 34, maybe it's 35. All right, but we'll ask for 40, we'll settle for 35, but at least we're out of the 30, we're getting rid of that. Because if the Cowboys are offering $30 million a season, see what more you can get. Now, does Dak Prescott, you know, is he, in terms of a quarterback level, where is he in terms of importance to the level of play in the league, in terms of where, you know, is he one of the top five quarterbacks in the league? If you're Dallas, it's irrelevant because you're not going after anybody else. That's the other key to this negotiation, right? And Prescott knows that. It's not like Jerry Jones is going, well, I can get Ben Roethlisberger for 27, or I could get Aaron Rodgers for 32. I'd like to keep Dak Prescott because he's got familiarity with the team. I can get him at 30. But if in the end, I might be able to also make a deal for Drew Brees or Matt Ryan to get them to, that's not how this is playing out. And that's why quarterbacks know they have the upper hand in getting these kind of deals. Where are you going to go? Well, what's going to happen next? Are you really ready to take a team as young as it is, right? And as ready to pop as you feel it is? Are you ready to just say, oh, we'll just find somebody else to sling the football around in the most important position in all of sports? That's where the negotiation power comes from Prescott's side of things, right? The Cowboys want to make Elliott, Amari Cooper, and Dak Prescott in the top five of their positions, all right? And that would put Prescott in the $30 million range, all right? But Prescott is seeing what he can squeeze. So initially when this report of he asked for $40 million got shut down, I'm kind of believing there's a caveat to that, right? I don't think Prescott is saying, I'm not going to sign a deal unless there's a 4-0 on it. I think it's them saying, look, we'd like $40 million, but this is where we'd rather start than where you rather start. You want to start at 30, and maybe I can get 31 or 2. I wouldn't mind starting at 40, and maybe I can get 35 or 34. Like, I think that's more of this story than, no, Prescott didn't ask for $40 million a year. That's silly. We're shooting that down. I have a hard time believing that his people just went, no, we'll start with the 30 base because we know our client. We know where he's at. in terms of the level of play in the NFL.
Do you think they started shooting the $40 million down when all the backlash came out?
I think they absolutely did, yeah.
Like, it was damage control more than anything.
Right. Because people had really a good time on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they loved taking shots at Dak Prescott, trying to get $30 million a year. Are you kidding? Just $30 million a year, people had fun. Once it came out that he wanted 40, all hell broke loose.
It was the mere fact of knowing, the rumor being circulated that he turned down $30 million. We're like, how would you turn down $30 million?
Right.
That's top five.
That's right.
In the NFL, the entire NFL.
Yeah, again, I just think this is just a negotiating ploy to say, let's see what we can pop from Jerry Jones. Let's see what he wants.
Yeah, maybe
if it settles at 30, it settles at 30. But your job is to see what you can push. Listen, you're not irreplaceable, but a quarterback in the NFL is close. I mean, it's really close because you could set the entire organization back years if you're going with journeyman guys who are just kind of coming in until you can groom another consistent starter. Right? I mean, look, if journeyman quarterbacks were any good, they'd be starters in this league that's begging for more starters. So if you're, if you're Dak Prescott's people, you go, look, this is what you want. Your dream is to lock in your big three again. Okay. Well, in order for my guy to be in the conversation, we want $40 million a year. Oh, all right. That's a little too high. Okay. Well, how about 36? Okay. That's more reasonable rather than starting at 30. That's what I tend to believe. This idea that they went, oh, no. He didn't ask for 40. Well,
never.
Come on. I mean, let's not pretend that they didn't try. They had to have tried. In fact, I would be ticked off at his agent if he didn't try to pop it.
Yeah.
Just to see what would happen.
Well, because
what their idea was.
If they offer 30, you come in at 40, maybe meet somewhere in the middle. Maybe you're getting 35.
Right. And then that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's how negotiations work. You know, when you go into haggle with a car, right? Now $35,000 car, you want to play 31, they settle on 33, and you walk away with the car.
Mm-hmm. Right? You feel like you won.
Right. You feel like you won. You feel like your wife that nobody gets by, but nobody gets something under you.
Right. And the dealer the entire time sitting there's like, man, I would have sold it to you for 27.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I bet you the same thing will go through Jerry Jones's mind. Where
sure.
He's like, just based on performance, based on how many good quarterbacks there are in the league, he'd probably, realistically, he probably would pay 42, 44 for it.
Yeah. Russell Wilson's what, at 35? Million. So
he's
I think this was one, it was 4 years, 140. So Russell Wilson's at 35. So Prescott and his people know, like, all right, we'll see what Jerry Jones wants to do here. Let's see if he wants to make us the highest paid quarterback of the NFL. Probably not, but why not? We'll see what he gets. I mean, the worst he's going to say is no. He's not going to say you're fired, right?
Right.
He's going to say nope. And then they go back to the drawing board again.
Yeah.
So I agree.
I don't see Dak holding out.
No.
That's the other thing, too.
Right.
I don't think there's a fear of him holding out.
No. I think this is just the two sides. They're going to get a deal done. I think they're toying with some numbers and going from there. I think you're right. I think the initial denial of that $40 million money had more to do with there's a public reaction that's not looking good, and let's deny this so we don't lose the eye on the prize, right? So the eye on the prize is let's get 30, maybe 32, $33 million a year, maybe 34 if we can get it. Let's see what we can do, but let's not turn this into Dak Prescott sucks, right? Let's not have the nation on Twitter start ripping Dak Prescott's because he's 32 and 16 as a starter, which is pretty good.
Pretty good.
Right? He's pretty good.
You know what part of the problem is too, is that when you have these athletes, especially in the NFL who are asking for money, then you see them hold out. That, I think a lot of public perception is, Dak didn't get what he wanted. He's going to hold out.
Right.
Because when you look at all these running backs, we have two prominent running backs right now who aren't showing up to training camp. I thought there was a third player who is thinking about holding out now, too.
On the running back side?
Nah, just overall.
Well, there's Trent Williams in Washington.
Trent Williams. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. He's holding out, but he's holding out not for money, but for a trade.
Yeah, he's trying to get out of there.
Right, I don't blame him. I mean, who wants to play for the Redskins?
But you're right. Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon are still
holding out. Deals. They don't have any care in the world of showing up at any time soon.
Right. Exactly. So, but you listen, if you're Prescott's agent too, always remember that Prescott was drafted in the fourth round. So his rookie deal is very cheap. Very cheap for the Cowboys. I think he's making like $2 million this year. Right? So if you're his agent, you're like, let me get some money. Let's get lots and lots of money. Right? This guy was a fourth round pick. You're getting him on a steal. He's producing for you. He's got 65 touchdowns, right? He's got 32 wins. Let's pay him. Let's get some serious money. So I'm not surprised that they, they probably shot at 40 and then went, all right, the backlash is coming. Let's deny this. But in reality, they probably asked for it. I kind of agree.
You said, you'd almost be upset if they didn't.
Yeah, of course. Try it. See what happens.
You got to throw it out there. I mean,
you're dealing with Jerry Jones, for crying out loud. Why wouldn't you try to see what you can squeeze more money out of?
Why not? Right? I mean, right? The worst that could happen is he says no. I mean, he's not going to fire you. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to trade you. He's not going to cut you. He's not going to do any of that.
Yeah, he's not going to think you're a problem.
No.
Okay. We'll start again.
He's like, all right, well, 40's a little bit above our budget. We're trying to figure out some way to sign Ezekiel.
Exactly.
If I give you 40, what do I have to give Zeke?
We don't want to limit people at the copy machine, so we're trying to help that out. So
we need more toner.
Yeah, but if you knew that Jerry Jones was like just gushing over the possibility of locking up these three young players again in this sort of like it's the 90s. Oh my God, look what we have. Like you'd go, okay, well, let's see how much you're willing to pay for the dream. Let's see what we could do.
Exactly.
Right. I would do the exact same thing. All right, again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. All right, roll along. More NFL. We got to get back to the Antonio Brown thing for a second. There's a little bit more I want to touch on. That's coming up. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so back to the Antonio Brown story. Again, no surprise that the helmet issue did not go his way. I would have been so mad if the NFL went, oh, okay, you can wear the outdated helmet, just be quiet. I would have been livid.
You would have to go and smack someone.
Oh, God. The NFL arbitrator probably went like, all right, and start. Let's just hang out here for a minute before we tell him no. And no.
Well, you hear the argument, right?
You hear the point.
It's like talking to one of your kids. You know that he has worked on this. My middle son does this all the time. He's like, Dad, just hear me. I got a plan. I already know the answer is going to be no.
Right, okay.
But you hear the argument. You listen. Yeah, okay. He's thought this out. And sometimes they're well thought out. I'm like, yeah, I'm impressed with how you came to this point.
Took a shot. All right, very impressive, yeah. Right.
Answer's still no.
Answer's still no.
But good on you.
So, yeah, so they said no. Well, they heard it Friday, so they had the whole weekend to think it over. I wasn't really surprised that they said no. I'm sure they could have come back to him like 10 minutes later and go, yeah, thanks, no. Yeah,
no.
I'm sure the league was like, oh, yeah, well, you can use any helmet you want. Go down and get a plastic one with a wire face mask, if that makes you happy. Go ahead. It's all good. Don't worry about that. And then when you come suing us in 20 years because you can't read, that's no problem. We'll just more than happy to dump a boatload of money in your lap.
They should just give them one with a single bar like the kickers used to wear.
Oh, yeah. Joe Theismann wore that, too.
Yes.
Yep.
God, that was dangerous.
I know.
But God. For Joe, it didn't really matter because it was his legs that he needed protecting.
I know. All right? I know. No kidding. I mean, Tom Brady was like, all right, it's the rule. I have to change it. So,
yeah. Sorry, you know what? I mean, be honest. There's probably a whole bunch of players who, if had this passed, there would have been a whole bunch of players waiting in line.
Absolutely.
Well, if he's going to do it, I want to go back to my old helmet. And then all of a sudden, we're back to square one.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, then John Gruden had said this over the weekend. So the helmet thing is personal. It's a personal matter to him. He has a strong feeling about what's worn on his head. We're supporting him. We understand the league's position as well. So we're in a tough spot. No, you're not in a tough spot. Why are you And then he says that Antonio Brown's going to rejoin the team. He goes, I can't wait. Why are you acting as if this guy is going to be now the new team leader? Why aren't you saying, yeah, you know what? He's supposed to get back to work. And no, he can't wear his helmet because we as a league and an entire Raider organization support the safety initiatives that this league is doing. And no, I am not, I do not care that he wants to wear an old helmet. We're supporting him, but we understand the league's positions. We're in a tough spot. You're not in a tough spot, John Gruden. You just say, this is the rule, and we're all going to follow it. Man, it's like a security blanket. I get it. But you know what? It's time to move on. John wants to make him happy. I get it. Because he's playing that psychological game with him, I guess, where he's like, look, we're not going to have a Mike Tomlin 2.0 here. We're going to argue over stupid stuff and we're going to break down our relationship. I need you to want to be here. I want you to play here and be great. Like we know you can. And if that means I got to say some things, all right, I'll say some things. But God, don't bow down to this guy. I mean, just don't make him feel like he's winning all the time.
I know, you're giving him way too much power.
Yeah, don't do that. Because, like I said, one of the reasons that Antonio Brown acts so bizarre is because it always seems to work out for him anyway, right? He gets what he wants, right? He wanted to leave Pittsburgh, so he got to leave Pittsburgh. He wanted guaranteed money. They gave him guaranteed money. He wanted a raise. They gave him a raise. Why would he change? Like, where is the person in his life saying, you can't act like this, right? Nobody is. There's nobody, because everything works out, right? He throws furniture off a balcony. Nobody cares, right? I mean, all this stuff. He calls a reporter racist. Steelers don't want to do anything crazy with him. With that, right? Because even though the guy didn't really write anything racist, right? There is nobody in Antonio Brown's life to say, slow down, calm down, because Antonio Brown goes, well, look what I got. Yeah, look, you may think I'm crazy, but I'm crazy like a fox, because look what's happened. I get out of Pittsburgh. I get a bigger deal. I get guaranteed money. That's the other thing, this threat to retire. Like, how stupid is that? Like, you literally got exactly what you wanted. You're going to give it away over a stupid helmet? You got exactly what you wanted. And you're going to try, nah, I'm retiring. I mean, as crazy as it is, he won. He got out more money and guaranteed money. He got the three things he was looking for from Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, you know, and he still... Look, he didn't have an off year. He's not coming off a major injury and trying to reprove himself. This is a Pro Bowl wide receiver. And when he's on, he's going to make the Raiders better. He's going to make the Raiders, I don't know how much better, but he's going to make the Raiders better. But my goodness, he was going to retire. And the other thing, too, this rule did not come out of nowhere. This didn't come out like the last 6 weeks and they went, oh, by the way, I'm sorry, we forgot to tell everybody. If you have an old helmet, you got to change your helmet. Like, they made the rule a while ago, grandfathered in the 32 players, and then said, yeah, okay, the grandfather time is over. Well, you've had plenty of time to fix this. Now fix this, to get your helmet up to code. So if that means getting with people and refitting it and all that, you had plenty of time to do this. But instead, he acts like it's sprung on him on Monday. Like, my God, I got to change helmets. How dare they?
When did this happen?
Right. Exactly. Right. But it is because now is the time you can be mad about it. Now is the time you can showcase get in the spotlight. Be bitter. Be angry. Be upset at the league. Threaten to retire. This is unfair. All of those things. And this is why when John Gruden says, oh, I understand where he's coming from. Really, why do you understand where he's coming from? He's had a while to figure this out. Why do you understand that he's waiting to the last minute to fix this problem, adding another distraction to training camp? Why do you understand this? You should have said, you know what? I don't know what his problem is. He's had plenty of time to figure this out. He got a grandfathered year into this rule. And instead, he's now making a big deal out of it at the last possible second. You have till Christmas to organize your office. And then, like, December 23rd, you're like, wait a minute. I didn't get the memo on this. What's wrong? What are you talking about? SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Tuesday. Chicago Bears on the clock as we continue our NFL previews. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I like this beat. Very nice. Very easy going into a morning. Very good. I had an old dad moment yesterday. With my kids.
Yes.
I did. I love this. I love when I do this. So, you know,
many of them now, I think.
You know how I was telling you I've been watching those documentaries, yes. Those CNN documentaries? So I was watching the music version, the music segment of the 2000s, and they were talking about all these different acts, you know, country acts, all these different acts. And Rihanna's Umbrella was featured, right? And I don't know what year that song came out, but it's a good song. Now, I knew the song, but it's kind of this catchy song. So I was telling my daughter yesterday, I said, hey, you know that song Umbrella by Rihanna? She goes, yeah. I go, that's a good song. She goes, you're old. I go, what do you mean I'm old? She goes, that came out when I was a little kid. I go, what year did it come out? She goes, I don't know, but I was like really little when that came out. She's 13. Sure, I looked it up. 2007.
Wow.
She was two. I was like, so she thought I was saying, hey, I just discovered this song, Umbrella, and it's cool. Which, it sounds good.
Let's be
and
honest,
she thought, oh, God. I knew the song. That's just not my genre. That's just not my song choice. Like, that's not my genre. I mean, but when I saw it in the video, the vignette, you know, the segment on music of the 2000s, I said, oh, that's a good song. It's very catchy.
Yeah. Aren't we allowed that, you know, say we didn't catch a song the first time around. Aren't we allowed to say, oh, well, we didn't really, you know, it's not our genre. I didn't really catch that beat.
That was my point to her. I was like, I know the song. It didn't just come out. I was telling her yesterday. So I know the song didn't just come out, but I'm telling you now that I've just discovered it and I like it and it sounds like a really good song. I've just heard it a couple times on YouTube. It's great. I may be late to the game. This time I'm really late to the game. But she's like, "You're an old man." I go, "It's because it's not my thing."
Right. I'm not going to say that's an old dad moment. I'm just going to say that's a moment.
I think that's a moment. That's
because
right.
You know what? I've been there many a times. There was a period where I didn't really listen to current radio because I didn't really like any of the music.
Yeah.
And now I'll go back and I'll hear a song. I'm like, oh, you know, that song's pretty cool. And, you know, it must be new. And then I look and it's like, oh, no, it came out 5 years ago. They're just playing on the radio again.
Yeah, I've had that many times. I go, that's a cool song. I'm like, oh,
now,
God,
one thing I cannot get behind is these the electronic music or electronica. I don't even know what they call it.
Yeah, I'm not into that
the
either.
Rave music. Those
yeah.
Kids just, you know, all hopped up on drugs.
Yeah, I'm. You're exactly right. So,
I mean, you hear like you know DJ this guy, Skill Rex. I butchered these guys' names. And that just shows you my age. I just have not been able to get behind that.
I can't keep up. I'm having a hard time keeping up with all of this. So anyway, I like Umbrella. It's 12 years old, but I thought it was a good song. And I thought, listen, I wasn't trying to be cool. Like I wasn't trying to be hip. I wasn't trying to hang out with my. You know, like my daughter, like, hey, let's share a moment of like, we like the same music.
Going, you know, that no. Rihanna girl, she might have a future.
She might have a future.
She might have a future. Right.
She immediately had to go to the, you're an old man, dad. I'm like, oh, God, I can't even. All right. I said, you know what? Move along. Nothing to see here.
Right. You don't know who Led Zeppelin is, so you're young.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why can't you say that to someone like, oh, you're such a baby?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess you can.
Well, you know what I'm finding out as I get older is young people don't like it when you say, ah, you weren't around for the 80s when, you know, you weren't around for the 90s when Nirvana came along. They don't want to hear that. They have their time, right? Yeah, they're not interested in your good old days.
Perfect example. My son, my oldest son, who just turned 12, is really into... was really into the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtracks.
Yeah, I am. Yes, okay. Exactly.
And I mean, he's listening to him. He's like, the first time he's ever heard, like, these are great songs. I'm like, yeah, 20 years ago.
Sure. And sometimes now, even longer than that.
And now he's really getting into the music of Stranger Things. And coming to me sometimes, every once in a while, I was like, Dad, have you ever heard this song?
And you're like, oh, welcome to the chamber. Come on
in.
Let me.
I'm like, not only that, watch me sing it word for word. Even though I haven't heard it in 30 years, I can still sing this song word for word.
Diving on in. Blake on Twitter, I was thinking, what if Antonio Brown really is messed up and wants out of the NFL? That's a good question, Blake, because I was pondering this yesterday.
CFL? XFL.
But he wants to go out on his terms, and the NFL is ruining that by giving him whatever he wants. He's going about it the wrong way because that one hit really did mess up his brain. We talked about that yesterday, yeah. Right? Since the hit by Vontaze Burfict, he has been on the crazy train. I don't remember Antonio Brown being crazy early in his career as a Steelers, paying attention to the Steelers.
I just remember him being a solid receiver. Like
solid receiver. Solid receiver, kind of burst out on the scene.
Was he doing antics then?
Back when he first started?
Yeah.
Not that I remember.
Pre-hit. Was he, touchdown celebrations, showing up to camp celebrations?
Maybe doing some kind of funny stuff. I think before the hit, he did show up like in a golden car, Porsche or something like that, Lamborghini or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to kind of peruse the archives.
I think it's twofold. I think it's the hit coupled with the fact that when you're walking around that you're the best wide receiver in the league.
I did say this yesterday that I do think – I'm not a guy that wants to pile on Antonio Brown without fully understanding there might be something wrong with him, right? And again, I don't want to diagnose it because I'm not going to go down that road because I don't know how to diagnose this stuff. But, bipolar, that kind of thing where you, again, I don't want to diagnose it, so I better not. But you know what I mean? Like if there's a real mental health issue, then I want him to get help. I mean, I don't want him to fall down the rabbit hole where everyone's piling on, and he really needs some sort of stability. He needs to find somebody that will sit him down and say, no, you know what? You've got something wrong, but this will help you. This whatever treatment it is, this will help you. And if that's the case, then my sympathies go out to him because it's a bad way to do it. But I think, Blake, you make a good point. He is going about it wrong because again, he got everything he wanted. He wanted out of the Steelers by, I want this, I want this, I want this. And the Steelers went, no, none to any of it. And then he was like, okay. And then like, and by the way, we'll trade you to somebody who'll give you everything you want. And that's basically how it worked. He ended up getting what he wanted. He got a raise in money. He got a guaranteed money and he got out of Pittsburgh. Those were the three things he wanted and he got them. And so now he's got a head coach that is not screaming about these distractions and not ticked off, not publicly ticked off about his frostbitten feet. Instead saying, can't wait to have Antonio Brown here. Can't wait. So excited. Nope. You know what? That helmet thing, that's a personal matter to him. We support that. But, we also got to support the league and its rules. Like he's got a coach that's like, man, we get him. We get him. We get everything he's going through. We want him to be so happy. We want him to be excited to play for us.
There's two Grudens right now that way. Gruden, you need to pick one. There's the Gruden that, we saw in the first week of Hard Knocks when he's giving that speech that he's not into dreams. He's into nightmares.
Right. You're going to end a nightmare.
And then there's the Gruden who's like, oh, no, Antonio, come here. Let me put my arm around you. You need something? You need some water? Let me go get the towel. Let me go get a fanboy. And have him have a fan on you the entire time. Shake a palm leaf. If you want him to feed you grapes too, I'll get him to do that. It's like, I don't know why he's cowering down to a wide receiver. He's good, but I mean, he's not spectacular.
And you always have to, don't you not respect like the when you see a guy in a relationship with a beautiful woman and he's almost like just. I actually like going to Rose Gardens, walking around on a Saturday night, and I like going to see chick flicks and leaving my friends out while they're all bowling or whatever. Like, you always go, guy, come on, man. Like, have an identity. Like, yeah. Don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about losing her. Have an identity. He's not going anywhere, John Gruden. You can relax. You can get the like, you don't try to make him happy. Like, that's my whole thing. He's a football player. You need to have a camp where you are preparing football players for the season, and he's going to be one of them. And he's going to do great for you if he plays and plays well. He'll do great for you because he's a Pro Bowl level talent. But you got to put up with all the other garbage that goes on with him. But that is a good point, Blake, because we brought that up yesterday. Since the hit, he may have been a little bit on the crazy side.
And then since the hit, I mean, he's had coaches who just cower to him.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was part of the disconnect where Tomlin kind of realized, oh, you know what, I shouldn't be treating him this way. But by then it was too late. You already had been.
Remember, the story out of Pittsburgh was that on Tuesday leading into Week 17, he was acting up, and Tomlin told him to go home, and he thought that meant going home forever. That was his side of the story.
Yeah.
His side of the story was, I thought he meant go home and never come back.
Again.
And the Steelers were like, where were you the next couple of days? Like, it was leave today, but resolve this later. Like, you know, like, we're going to contact you, we're going to solve it, and then you come back. And he thought it meant, no, never come back.
Well, I've always been that way. When my wife tells me to leave, and I'll go for a couple of days, and then come back, like, oh, you didn't mean just go to the store?
Oh,
my bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean get out of the house and get some fresh air?
No.
You, I mean, I slept on my buddy's couch for 5 days?
I didn't realize.
This is going to be fun, watching the Raiders.
It could be a more perfect
but
team.
But maybe not.
I mean, you imagine if he went to, like, the Packers. We wouldn't be having these stories.
No, not at all. That's the weird thing, right?
It had to be the Raiders.
It had to be the Raiders. You're absolutely right. Again, if he...
and again, weird. You know what? I'm still not going to rule out the fact that maybe he's playing it up for Hard Knocks.
That is... Now, that's another angle to this, too. That's another interesting angle. Knowing that
He has a TV show focused on him.
Focused on him.
Because he's already done one. He did the that Masked Singer, if you remember.
That's
last
right.
Year.
And he also did Dancing with the Stars.
And Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
So, I mean, he's not opposed to being on reality, to being an entertainer, a star. I mean, we know that. We've seen it on the field. But now I think he's wanting to dive a little bit more into Hollywood. Maybe he's already planning ahead for a secondary career.
That's funny that you mentioned that.
Football.
Because remember when we talked August 1st, we did the MTV Throwback Thursday,
yep.
And we talked about The Real World? Remember that television show? For those of you who don't know, they used to take seven strangers, film it in a loft, and see what happens. But what happened with The Real World was, over time, people knew what that show was and what it could offer you. Right. In the beginning, nobody knew what reality TV was. This was early 90s. Nobody had really had ever done this. But and it's the same thing with Survivor, and it's the same thing with Big Brother, and it's the same thing with all these shows now. The more you have where people are familiar with the format, the more people realize what they can do with that format. And Hard Knocks is no exception to this rule, right? Hard Knocks is no exception. Guys who have players who have seen it understand what those cameras are capable of, understand what those cameras can bring. Right. You're right. You may have some players that might manipulate that, knowing what could be at stake for them. And Antonio Brown may be saying, look, I'm going to take this character that I've got to this weird, bizarre level for whatever purpose he's trying to serve with it. But he knows that the cameras are on. So here we go. Here comes crazy. Here comes nuts. Here comes giving people what they want. Right. People want Antonio Brown to act up and be the star of Hard Knocks. Well, he'll do it. Because if he shows up as boring wide receiver that keeps his mouth shut, oh, where's the fun in that? So, you might be right. All right, again, at Tony D Radio on Twitter, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, rolling along. Again, the Chicago Bears on the clock as we preview them. And this week, NFC North teams, as we continue along with our NFL previews on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Now, riddle me this, Mr. Ron Culver, Mr. Soccer. Am I supposed to be excited about 14-year-old Francis Jacob signing with the Orange County SC?
Of course.
He's the youngest male player to sign a professional contract.
Why not?
He beat Freddie Adu. What happened to Freddie Adu? Where did Freddie Adu go? Is he still kicking around?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. He's dead.
You said he was kicking around. I'm like, he kicked him up.
Well, kicking around, meaning in a soccer terminology.
God, you know, I don't know if he is still playing, to be honest with you.
I know he played for DC United back in the early 2000s.
You know, being signed as a 15-year-old, I believe.
Yeah, well, that means that he's like in his 30s now, right? 2003 when he was 14 years old. So, yeah, he's got to be like in his 30s now, right? That was 16 years ago. So he's like 30 years old. So I have no idea what Freddie Adu is these days.
Nope, yeah, he's 30 years old.
Well, it just means that the U.S. soccer is on an uptick now. Like, we got Christian Pulisic. Now this 14-year-old kid is signed.
Well, you know what it probably is, and I don't mean any disrespect for the MLS, but the MLS can sign these players, and this guy can get quality professional soccer against grown men.
That's good.
Versus if he was assigned for, say, you know, the top French team is PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. If he was assigned with them, he wouldn't really get playing time against, you know, the other professionals in the league because it's a really, really good team.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, by coming over here, it's just one of those things where the MLS is a second tier league or maybe even a third tier league. I mean, we have old players, you know, who have retired from European competition to come to the United States to keep on playing and relive the glory days.
Well, I just want kids who are really good in this country to then find an avenue where they go, and I don't want to play soccer anymore. I want to do this. I'm good. You know, I can play this. And, like, give them a pathway so that we can start building up a team that will be competitive in the World Cup before I die. That's all I'm asking. I just want a team that's competitive in the World Cup. So if it means a 14-year-old kid signs a professional contract, great. We do this in tennis, right? If you're a good tennis player, like Andre Agassi or Jennifer Capriati or whatever, we get you to the pros as teenagers. I'm all for it. But, yeah, interesting. SB Nation AM.